Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a snap. Kirk looks, sails it. Drake there, caught! Touchdown, Atlanta! Drake London, for the first time in 14 games, he stands in the end zone, and the Falcons have tied the game.
This team doesn't know how to lose.
This team is abysmal.
I blame Nick Sirianni.
Go to hell today.
It needs to be boots for somebody's ass. I'm sick of it.
Oh, baby. Week two already, the NFL season, and we're already spied on Philly. I'll be honest, with about 6 minutes left, I hopped in bed, and I said, you know what? No spying on Philly yet. But then I got a notification from my ESPN Fantasy League that Bijan Robinson was in the red zone. I said, wait a minute. They got a chance here. And by golly, they did it. The Atlanta Falcons did it.
I'm glad you were looking at that versus responding to my text to you.
I was going to say, at least I could multitask.
Well,
I
your
could
text
reply.
Came, I think, 25 minutes after the game ended. So I was already asleep. Once the game ended, I laid in bed. I was done.
Sorry.
But guys, we do have some Spine on Philly audio here from 94 WIP in Philadelphia. Now, man, I really, you know, we did this last year and there were some good clips, but they need Angela Cataldi back. They really do. You know, there's not as much screaming and yelling. I mean, there were 17 clips before, you know, our show started. You know, rolling them last year, or you know, when Angelo was in studio for them. But he's retired, he's gone, so now we got to deal with the other hosts. But you know, they took some calls early this morning on WIP and some good ones here. But this first clip here is a host saying that he knew from the beginning of the game that this was just a mediocre football team. And then we get to a caller here as well who's he's not too happy that the Eagles did not take the points on the first drive of the game.
The headline of the game, in my opinion, is that the 2024 Philadelphia Eagles appear to be a very mediocre football team. They look, to my eyes, to be entirely average. Let's go to Tom in Dover. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Tom. Actually, you know what? Struggling.
You know, Tom.
Let me say this to you, Joe. I don't know what makes you think you don't take them 3 points on that first drive. We got the ball. We drove the ball down the field. We didn't get a ball to Saquon at all. You take the 3 points, you go back to the bench and say, okay, we know we can move the ball against these guys. We'll get them the next series. You don't go back to the bench empty-handed and now everybody's sitting there dejected. We needed them 3 points. I mean, man, our whole section, man, we wanted them points, man. We needed them points.
And I think, Sean, you texted us saying that was a stupid decision.
Yeah, so those are the types of things you tweet it out and then they score, pick it up, you look stupid. But in that moment, I was like, this offense, I don't trust Jalen Hurts in a progression out here to find someone. A little bit too long to hand off to Saquon for 4 yards. Atlanta's offense, I'm questioning the Achilles and the back right, the right leg of Kirk Cousins pushing off. The Falcons offense isn't going to be to do anything. Just get ahead and start the momentum. Instead, 4th and 4, they go for it. They don't get it. I was like, just go ahead, because I didn't feel like the Eagles offense was smooth, not like a juggernaut to go ahead and pick that up. So I'm like, just go ahead, take the 3 and get your early lead, because Atlanta's not going to score on you anyway. That was my feeling and thought in the moment.
Yeah, and so we get to this next clip here. Okay,
he sounded like Jack, you know, what's the movie with Jack Nicholson with On That Wall?
You can't hit a few good men.
We need those points. We had to have those points.
We
sought those points.
So now the guys on 94 WIP, they start playing a blame game. You know, they send the blame ball around. Who's the blame there? Do you guys have a quick answer on who to blame for the loss of the Eagles?
Are you guys both blaming Sirianni?
Well, I mean, look, Barkley.
At the end of the day, if Barkley makes that catch that was in his hands, the game's over. Like, you know, now it's nothing comes down to one play. I could go either way on the early field goal slash go for it. I was fine either way. Like, you know, I would have, you know, because inside the 20, you know, you can make a case that anything under 4th and 5, you would go for it because it's like such a long, you know, you're already down there. But
the analytics on ESPN had it as a slight go.
Slight go for it. Yeah, very slight. It wasn't like enough to be upset about, right? Either way.
Well, it's funny how none of you guys said Kellen Moore's name because the hosts on WIP, they're already, week two of the NFL season, they're already blaming Kellen Moore for the loss.
Rhea, blame ball. Who does it go to?
Kellen Moore, 100%. I hated his play calling on the first drive when Saquon Barkley wasn't featured. I hated it on the second drive when Saquon went 9-9-11, and then they bring in Kenny Gainwell. I know he needs a breather, but it's the second drive of the game, and then the pivotal 3rd and 3. The Atlanta Falcons had no timeouts.
Can we mention a name that we haven't said yet today? But you traded a 3rd-round pick for Jahan Dotson? Like, really? Really? One catch? One target?
I mean, Covey was much better.
Brutal.
And the schedule for the Eagles doesn't get any easier. They go 2 at New Orleans and then 2 Tampa Bay the next 2 games.
Rhea.
By the way,
9-9-11. That's 3 straight plays. I mean, he needs a rest.
By the way, this whole thing of their mid—they look just totally average. They dropped 34 on the Green Bay Packers. Now, there's nothing average about that first offensive performance in Brazil against Green Bay. But this is the difference with East Coast Radio. This guy's a bust because we traded a 3rd-round pick for him, and in the 2nd game of the season, he had 1 catch. Total bust. Total bust. Total bust. Now, you do want him getting the ball a little bit more, especially with A.J. Brown out for multiple weeks, I think Adam Schefter reported. But I just love the misery, and I hope the heat on Sirianni gets turned up. I hope it gets hotter on Sirianni than here on McCarthy early in the season.
They are literally, one Saquon Barkley fingertip away from being 2-0. And they're all of a sudden going from 2-0 to a very average football team.
Yes.
What a time to be alive.
Defense also has to stop somebody. Cousins was just able to just, oh, this is easy. I can just walk right down the field in 4 plays and score.
Yes.
Yeah, but prior to that, he had scored 15 points. Like, that's not bad. That's pretty good defense.
Pretty good defense.
Yeah. They were not efficient, though. They were getting some fortune breaks. They were getting gashed in the run.
Last night on the Manning cast, Peyton and Matt Ryan could not believe Filthy threw it on 3rd.
Got to stay on the ground here, right, Matt?
This ball shouldn't go in the air the rest of the game.
I know I think they're going to go for one.
I think Nick Sirianni is going to go for it.
The push is coming. The push is coming. We can't throw it here.
Oh, they are playing.
Oh.
I know. Oh. Ooh. They had it. Wow. Wow.
It's why you don't throw, though.
I mean.
It's why you don't throw.
It is why you don't throw, but. Oh.
And then, Bobby, you said Peyton Manning forecasted this, projected it. The X's and O's genius saw the interception coming, the final pick to clinch the game before Jalen Hurts even snapped it.
Safety help up top on Smith.
Oh, no, they're coming playing down. Like a
He's coming
a
down.
Funnel.
He's coming down. He's
hit.
Down.
He's getting hit.
Oh, no. Safety read his eyes. Safety read his eyes. He threw it late. He broke before he threw it.
Finally got a little pressure. He couldn't quite get maybe everything on this ball.
Devontae had to go inside release. He gets closer to the middle safety, and now he comes over and makes the play reading the eyes.
Right at the top. Before they walk up to the line, he's like, that's safety. And the whole time he's like, he's coming. Jalen Hurts just never sees him.
I tried going on over to the Manning cast when I knew Belichick was on, and I felt like I was watching a slow death.
It's tough, right? Because of the delay?
No. The delay was fine.
Okay.
Bill was there at the stadium, but it was just in my mind that everyone's crapping on the Manning cast now and saying no one's watching and the ratings are going away. And I'm like, ooh, I'm watching the Mannings finally fail at something.
I did like Belichick saying that he owns 3 dartboards, 2 with Eli's face on them and 1 with Nick Foles.
Belichick took some shots at the Falcons yesterday, too. He's like, oh, well, was that one of the guys that they got caught tampering with? It was the receiver.
Wouldn't happen under my watch.
Yeah, nothing illegal would happen under your watch, old Billy boy. Jerry Jones live at 8:30, but we had some breaking news late last night. Diddy arrested, and the latest on another security breach
for President Trump. That's next, followed by Jerry Jones in 20 minutes with Sean and RJ.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Huge day here on The Fan. Coming up in 15 minutes, Jerry Jones live at 8:30. Brian Billick will join KMC at 1. Kamar Rocker on the G-Bag Nation at 3:10.
Oh, baby.
And Chris Young, who we need to congratulate on the contract extension that finally got done. He'll join G-Bag at 4:20. And then 6:40, Rangers pregame with Bruce Bochy. So a loaded show on your station to turn it on, leave it on. But the Chris Young extension got done.
It did get done. I mean, it would have been a wild thing for him not to be back here. You come here, you win a World Series, and then you leave like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
Rangers version of Jimmy, if they let that happen.
Or, yeah, I mean, like the Astros did something similar with this with the guy they, his name has escaped me, but his contract ran out and he left.
Yep.
So, yeah, it would be very odd.
Unless, it's deserved. Unless Chris Young looked at it and said, I don't feel like ownership is going to spend enough here to allow me to win more championships.
And you know what? That's a good point. And I do wonder if, like, this is an indication that they are going to spend, because I don't think he would have come back. He's too competitive to come back to a place that they're going to nickel and dime him.
Yep, I agree. So CY with the extension, Kamar Rocker, Bruce Bochy, and the general manager all on the station today.
I will say it does make a little more sense, potentially, their trade deadline approach. If, like, if they knew Chris Young was kind of up in the air and they were trying to, like, hey, he wants to remain competitive. He wants to be, it does make some sense to me that they would have said, all right, let's maybe, like, cede to what CY wants to do here a little bit while we're still trying to get something done.
Diddy got arrested last night.
Diddy.
According to his attorney, of course, it has been a ton of sexual assault lawsuits, federal human trafficking probes. Got arrested, according to his lawyer, at the Park Hyatt Hotel in Manhattan, taken into custody by Homeland Security officials.
Yeah, Homeland apparently is the one that...
Is this a Diddy song?
It's I Need a Girl.
It's a great song.
Yeah, but is I Need a Girl
the one? Is this the one you would...
That's the one I went with.
Is this the appropriate one?
Not more
appropriate.
Money, more problems, something?
Definitely, no, it might be appropriate.
Yeah, this is the one... Homeland generally handles sex trafficking probes, so that's why they had the jurisdiction here. On this, but
look, I'll say obviously, you know, right to fair trial, things play out by all the optics, by all the accounts. I hope this guy gets R. Kelly treatment.
I think Diddy thinks that he is a mafia boss in real life. I think he really thinks he's the Godfather. And I love that show, Making the Band back in the day. Well, you saw some scary S from him in his faces where he's like, I run stuff. And you cross me, it just always gave off the energy, I will take you out. And all the stories, all the rumors, the hotel video, I hope he gets what he deserves.
His character in the movie Made, very underrated movie.
I don't think I've seen it.
Vince Vaughn, Jon Favreau. That's who he wants to be. Like you said, he wants to be a mob boss. He wants to be sitting in the back of the Italian restaurant.
Yep.
Sipping on aperitifs.
Yep.
That's what he wants.
Or Ciroc.
Or Ciroc, which I don't know if he's a part of that anymore. But this is exactly what we all knew was going to happen. You know, once these allegations came down, it was only a matter of time before.
I didn't know if it was going to happen. You never know with celebrities.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Timberlake. Timberlake. What DUI comes with a $500 donation?
Is that what happened?
That's what it is. It's a $500 donation.
But Morgan Wallen's going to get jail time?
Yeah, they said that he's going to get 30, 60, 90 days somewhere in there. They're trying to avoid jail time, but his team's like, it doesn't sound like they're going to allow him to, because then it would just kind of set off a firestorm.
Boy, I think when it comes to the Diddy thing, though, it's wild when you look at, like, reflecting back, who kind of first pushes the domino on something like Diddy? Who pushed the first domino on Bill Cosby? Bill Cosby, that whole thing got started because Hannibal Buress was doing a stand-up act and made a joke about it in something that wasn't even publicized. Somebody was recording it in the crowd, posted it to social, and they're like, what the hell is he talking about with Bill Cosby? And then it went down from there. And then Cat Williams was saying stuff about Diddy that people were like, what the hell is he talking about? He's what
trending.
Is this?
He's trending. Cat Williams may be a prophet. Never forget Cat Williams when he joined Shannon Sharp.
Makes you wonder about all the other stuff Cat Williams says.
What's the Trump update?
Well, there's a couple updates. The first one is the Secret Service admits that there was a loophole, a security exploitation spot where this shooter was Ryan Wesley Ruth, was able to find and go to this one spot where there was a clear line of sight from, you know, about a football, a few football fields away, like 300 yards away plus, and get a clear look at the president. Now, there are spots where photographers and media have gone that are as close as 75 yards away. Now this guy was more than that, okay? He was more than that away. He could have waited and only been about 150 feet. But at the moment that they found him, he was about 700 feet away. So there was a perfect spot for him to be able to get a shot off should he wanted to, which begs the question, and the Secret Service knew about this. It was not a secret.
So what is the loophole, that you can get pictures of Trump golfing?
Well, yes, for the media, but in this case, this guy was able to get there. But
I saw he was like maybe sitting in a bush for 12 hours.
Yeah. So like, how did he know, though? Like, how did he know that this was a loophole that you could get? He wasn't a media member. He didn't have access like that. If he was a media member, he could have known.
A lot of people said this was a late change to Trump's schedule. How would you have known? How would any have known that he was golfing?
Yeah, and like the first guy, Crooks in Pennsylvania, like he lived there. This guy lived in Hawaii, so he traveled all the way to West Palm Beach for this. Why was he there? This is like that's kind of the next question here.
Yeah. Like inside info.
I mean, if there's that many media that know about it, though, I assume there's like
Reddit boards.
Like there's no telling how many different people maybe know about it, that then it's a connection and a whisper, and then to where it doesn't sound like this was anything that they concealed at all, like that this was a more vulnerable spot, a more vulnerable opening. And then it did say in the New York Post that photographers generally announce themselves when they go over there, like, hey, we're over here taking pictures, so that they don't confuse the Secret Service.
All right, was Sunday just Green Bay 2.0? What does Jerry Jones think about his run D now? And what did Mike Zimmer have to say about that embarrassment against New Orleans?
Jerry Jones joins us live on Sean and RJ after this. It's Sean and RJ with a Tolo Tuesday edition here on DFW Sports Station. In case you did not know, we are your home for Dallas Cowboys football and the World Series champs. And we are the home, about 14 years running now, of Jerry Jones live every Tuesday, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Ralph James Choppy and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. So we are awaiting Jerry. How was he after the game the other day, Bob?
I obviously disappointed, but had talked about that, you know, this is early and you know, we're not going to overreact to something this early in the season. There's a lot of football left ahead of us.
All right, so we got to ask about the Rundy, the personnel, Mike Zimmer's defense. Is this Dalvin Cook time? All of the above with Jerry Jones joining us now here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
It's good to be on with you today, and let's hope we can straighten this thing out.
Yes, sir. Jerry, did that feel like Green Bay 2.0, the Packers playoff game all over again Sunday?
Really, not really at all. It felt more like, I think it was described, the opening day many, many years ago. We just really felt like that you had the mentality of mentality being the lack of quickness, urgency, and the importance of in some cases, not running around your block. In some cases, not running through the block if you're a defensive guy. I just think they made us pay. They came in really ready to play at a very high level, and we were not. And really took its toll because they used that to effectively make plays early that under any normal circumstances, when you're getting worn down with the running against the running game, you usually have an entire team that feels the impact. And that's the best way that I can explain it. What is a fact is that the players that we have out there can play what we were trying to do Sunday a lot better. They can do that. And all they have to do is do that with just more emphasis, more feeling that controlling that block on you, controlling it, getting to a spot quicker, that makes the kind of difference that we saw Sunday. So this doesn't call for a change in the system. It doesn't call for a change in the player as much as it does take what we've learned Sunday. You can look at it the week before, and we didn't have some of those same issues, but this can happen to you. So I think that's the best news. The thing that if I were a fan, I'd look at is this something that we've got the year to look forward to? And the fact is, it is not.
Jerry, in the off season, you had talked about the run defense. We've all talked about that as a weak spot for the Cowboys. Does this make you worry that what you guys did to address it is not going to work with what Alvin Kamara and the Saints did run game wise?
What you saw was an addressing of the run game during the off season. You saw the fact that we are doing some things differently in the run game, and you saw the results of it not being done well. And so you've got to do what we changed to do. You have to do that better than we did out there, to almost be trite to say that. But the point is that the players that we have can do it better, and each one of them cumulatively will make that defense better. And it looks dramatic as though it's but it's these are not dramatic things that can be corrected that I'm talking about. And so you basically take, if you will, the group as a whole and say, again, remind what the principle of the defense is, and then you go out there and you just do it with a complete understanding of If we don't do it, if we're not where we're supposed to be, if we're not there at the time we're supposed to be, if we let this guy get to us in a, at a certain time, you could basically have the results we had Sunday.
Jerry Jones here on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry, besides Coach Zimmer, what were some of those other things that you guys did to address the run D that, that you felt good about?
Well, we got bigger in the middle. And we are bigger in the middle than we have been. And principally that's it. And we got linebackers, I think, that have better skills at defending the run and are basically very capable of reading, if you will, reading what the guy in front of you is doing. We didn't look like that Sunday, but that's what we've done to address it.
Jerry, do you feel that when your team gets, you know, like you mentioned, like they came in with a plan, they took it to you. Do you feel like when your team gets punched in the mouth early in a game that they sometimes struggle to respond?
Well, when you don't respond, you always feel like that. You always feel like that. Since I was in high school, if you have a team come out, they're playing well, they make some good plays, and they continue that doing all play long, you say, well, you didn't come to play. You didn't give effort. That's the game. And that kind of, whether you're observing it or whether you're playing it, that's exactly what the game does. And at the end of the day, when you have two halves of play like that, you'll feel like your team wasn't prepared, didn't respond. That's as old as the game itself. You always feel like that.
Jerry, what did Coach Zimmer have to say when you guys gathered and met and reviewed the film about either the lack of adjustments or what the Saints did to the defense?
We can improve. This is something we can correct. This is not something that we can't look to more like we played at Cleveland than we played out there the other day. We saw things at certain spots we hadn't seen during the preseason. And we had players that were doing things in a way that they hadn't done it before. Had they done it before, we would have been able to correct it by example. So the point is, can we take exactly what we're trying to do and have it ready to go and have it ready to go in a way that can win these games during the season and get ready for the playoffs? The answer is a big yes, we can.
Was there a lack of adjustments by Coach Zimmer during this one?
No, not at all. He basically was on the money from the very beginning. We thought we could go back out there and adjust it in the second half, and we, of course, didn't do it successfully. But we can do this, and we can do it with the personnel that we've got out there right now. We've got some really, I'm about as excited over the things and the players that we've got that can adjust, if you will, or play better than they played. I'm as excited about those players, and there are many of them young players, a couple of them newer players. I'm excited about those players as I've been about any in a long time.
Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Jerry, you just mentioned that the young players that you guys have, how much of maybe some of the struggles that we saw on Sunday are related to the growing pains of having to rely on so many rookies and young players?
Well, you can put overall 100% a need to be aware of what happens if you do not execute each of your assignments. You can't run around blocks. And certainly if two players on one snap do that, you could really get gutted. And so Sunday will give us a very great sense of awareness, in my view. It will be a great teaching tool for as we get ready to play Baltimore. You have to take, and this isn't a cliche, you have to take what we didn't do out there Sunday. And that's the job this week, to show each of those players what would happen had you done it the way that the plan and the was designed to go. Now, that's real stuff, and that works. And the question is, do we have the people to make it work? And we do, from the coaching staff right through the players. And so I can say that I can really not just hope and prayer. I can look and say, we've got the people and we've got a scheme that will keep from happening Sunday.
Jerry, to start off the interview, you had talked about urgency. How rare is it, or how common is it in your time doing this, that week two after winning the first week that you would come in with a lack of urgency? What do you attribute that to? Is that really surprising to you?
I'm saying when I say lack of urgency, it could be on a given play.
Okay.
It could be on a given play. It could be you've got to beat that guy to the angle. You've got to beat him to the angle. If he angles you, gets an angle on you, he's going to he's going to block you. And my point is that it isn't rare for it to happen to a player from one time or another in a football game. It's unusual for it to happen across the board as often as it happened.
Yeah.
That's unusual. And then that's where I'm getting a lot of the confidence that I have, that we can correct what we're doing. We can play this scheme much better than we played it. And we've got players out here that, albeit some of them are young, but, boy, we've got some good talent out there. And this is the kind of thing, defense is the kind of thing that you can take talented guys, guys that can move, guys that have some speed, guys that have natural instincts of getting to the ball. And you can correct some technical aspects of their game and really make a big difference. However, it's a team. And so you can have two or three doing it right and one doing it wrong, and you still get a bad play. So, you know, this sounds like we're just essentially doing a primer here on football. But the kinds of things that coaching can improve a team on are the kinds of challenges and where we can look forward to improvement on this defense.
Jerry, the Saints offensive coordinator is Clint Kubiak, and he comes from Kyle Shanahan's offensive system, and that's a system that's been really challenging for your run defense in recent years. There's been discussion about, hey, this San Francisco scheme, it's kind of got the book on you guys. What do you say to people who say that Dallas just is not capable of beating this Kyle Shanahan type of run scheme?
Well, we've got to get capable of beating it if we haven't beating it. Systems in the NFL, systems in football come and go. And I've seen them my entire life and all the way back to when I was in college. And I've seen systems that are in vogue work. And they work until they develop ways, the opponents develop ways to shut it down. The all systems have their strengths and they have their vulnerabilities. And if you've got a system that's working good, one of the things that we were able to do when I first came into the NFL, we were able to take a relatively speaking new approach to defense, smaller, faster, and we were able to get that implemented and get it in, and we were able to win with it. Systems do count. Chan Gailey told me one time, he said, there was a young quarterback in college, played at Syracuse. He said, you get me that guy, and I'll have two world championships won before they know what hit them, before they make the adjustments in the system.
Jerry, go
bottom,
ahead.
Bottom line is that systems do count, and this one seems to be a working universe. Are they perfect? No, they aren't perfect. Because that's not necessarily the system that, for instance, Kansas City's using. Not necessarily. I'm sure they've got plays and got aspects of it that are similar, but still, it's not universal throughout the league.
Jerry, how concerned are you about the state of your guys' run game, and do you anticipate Dalvin Cook to play this weekend?
I don't know how to pan out for us. We looked healthy as of yesterday in the running back with the running back room, but right now we were pleased. We could have had some better protection in general with our running backs. That's a strong suit, of course, for Zeke, but Dak was got pretty hurried there on a few occasions. Right now, across the board, Rico did real well, I thought, in the game the other day. And so I don't necessarily see a change that would involve Cook this year, this week.
How do you feel about Ferguson playing?
Everything looks on go to him. We'll see how he responds the first of the week.
Jerry Jones here on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry, I know you touched on this in your sit-down with Stephen A. It was a huge fan topic during the offseason. There's a certain big running back coming to town that you guys were connected with. Your thoughts on the Derrick Henry possibility or the reason you guys didn't try to sign him in the offseason, with whatever way you can answer it?
Let me say this. There are a lot of good players that you're connected with when you've got movement. Albeit, I'll bet you're connected with 90% of all the free agents that are out there. So that's not really connected at all. That's a name, and that's a you know good and well that if you've got a good player out there and you don't sign him, guess what? You're probably going to be playing him. And so it works both ways. You take, when you do sign them, you take one out of your competition and you put him over on your side. But the same thing works with other players. And so he's a heck of a running back, but you won't find any that do any better job than the one we played Sunday out there, Kamara, with the New Orleans Saints. And so have all the respect in the world for him. He's a top running back. We've got other things that we've got to get ready to do, other than just regret or lament on whether or not we signed one of those players we're playing Sunday.
Do you anticipate adding another running back at some point? I know Kareem Hunt's going. He's going to be visiting Kansas City today, you know, via signing or a trade.
Now, again, I'm really, I don't know what you're talking about as far as where you're looking, what you're talking about there. But still, I like what we are with our running backs. We've got good depth. We just didn't get to run them enough Sunday.
Jerry, I know you guys were really excited about DeMarvion Overshown coming into this season. Played really well in week one. Only got on the field for 18 snaps against New Orleans. What was your thought on the limited snaps that he got in this game?
Not they want to get him out there more and recognize that he got limited more less snaps than they had planned on, and I think you'll see more of him in the future.
Jerry, what impact is there on your team, if any, from losses like Sunday being magnified by Mike being in the last year of his contract?
Well, again, I don't think where he is with his contract has anything to do with Cleveland, where we were giving accolades out to him and Zimmer, or how we played Sunday. I don't think that you pair them up to that kind of timing. We're trying to get this team ready and in place to really make a run at the playoff on any given Sunday. You can have a bad day in the NFL, and you can certainly lose a ball game in the NFL. And the NFL is one that you can lose several games. And if you're playing well at the end of the year, you can win the Super Bowl. And so that's just what we've got. If we've got anything that albatross around our neck, is that we've been a good to very good team during the season over the last 4 or 5 years with Mike, and we haven't done well in the playoff. So let's trade some some challenges during the season for doing well in the playoff, if you want to look at it that way.
Did last night at least make you feel a little bit better with how things ended in Philadelphia?
Well, I thought that I'm not so sure I understand what you're talking about. Did Philadelphia win or lose that game?
They lost at the very end.
Okay, I didn't see it.
Okay. Well, that's a rare one. You're usually all on top of it. Jerry, thank you so much for the time, and best of luck responding on Sunday. Thank you, as always.
You bet, guys. Good day.
Jerry Jones, every Tuesday at this time, here on Sean and RJ, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. So mine, he didn't understand because he didn't see it. Choppy's, he didn't understand probably, you know, because of Choppy.
Yeah, he doesn't understand 2.8 yards of carry, and that's bad, I guess. I don't know.
My my notes are not good. Look, there's five things that I wrote down that were concerning about this football team heading into the year. Us and the majority of the fan base felt it, except for the Blue Belly homers. And obviously nothing that happened on Sunday made me feel different about that, and nothing that Jerry just said right now makes me feel any different about it. Run defense, your run game, your team's toughness, how they recover when trailing and getting punched early, and their depth did not seem to give the green light towards Dalvin Cook this weekend. All y'all correct me if I'm wrong with any of the things that I'm saying.
I don't know what I'm talking about now. Apparently there's nothing wrong with the running back room. That's what I got out of it.
And I would have sworn, and now look, they may do it, right? And they're just not going to say it today. McCarthy would probably have an aneurysm if Jerry came on here and said, yeah, I expect to see Dalvin this weekend. But there was a lot of hope and a lot of selling right there. A lot of hope and a lot of selling. But I'm numb to it after this offseason. Now, my wife always tells me that I'm a naive individual. And I got to learn my lessons a little bit later because I'm a little bit too trusting of people. So finally, after 14 years... I'm more numb to it with the selling and the hopes and the dreams. But after this offseason and hammering down on these five things that I just went through on this list, nothing's affecting me with Jerry trying to sell it to me right then.
Yeah, I think he very clearly wanted to make clear that he does not think that it was the scheme, the Zimmer scheme, that was an issue. That he thinks it was more players just got to be better.
Yep.
I was surprised he went as extended into that answer about Mike and potential distraction, where he said, look, if we're trading some struggles in the regular season for being better equipped in January, all right, fine, because January is where we've fallen short. So I found that interesting that he was willing to go that deep into it. But the exact quote, Nick Harris over at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram now had transcribed it on the running back question that Choppy asked. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I like where we are with our running backs. We have good depth. We just didn't get to see them run on Sunday.
Okay. So, scoreboard took the running game out of it. It's not the running back room. Now, it's the scoreboard.
That wouldn't be the first time that the scoreboard took the running backs out of it. But nobody really likes that running back room.
And that's the first time I can remember Jerry not watching one of the other games that were taking place. So let's go around the entire league. Let's laugh at Philadelphia again. Misery loves company. And everything that we learned in week two of the National Football League, next on Sean and RJ.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.